Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Place to go, darling. Have no place to go.
Hi, it's 6:13. I'm in a delightful mood because the fine IDOP people, after appearing on the show this week, have opened up two lanes into Ida B. Wells.
Woohoo!
I was going 147 miles an hour all the way to Wacker this morning.
Shouldn't have been doing that. You know, they were supposed to do that the night before, but it rained.
I think because I've been going 6 miles an hour for the last year or so, I had to make up for it.
Yeah, it doesn't. Your car doesn't know what to do.
I was going 147, texting and eating.
No,
and drinking coffee. I don't do any of this. When I said drinking coffee, you'd know. Listen, hi everybody,
and don't text either while you're driving.
We want to wish our friend John DeCoswell. He's having a surgical procedure this morning. He's having an extra hand put on his chest. You know, you can always have your hands full, but he'll be fine. He will be fine, and he'll be back here next week.
So this means we won't have bagels this morning? Is that it?
That's exactly right. How selfish of him.
I think there's some old donuts in the kitchen I saw.
No, those were cookies.
Oh, they're cookies. Oh, cookies.
I already had half of one.
Me too.
I walked in, and Bennett Wakenight, who's Steve's producer for the opening bill.
Bennett Wakefield, as they called him last night on the show?
Yes. He's like a 6'4" tapeworm. I mean, he just eats nonstop. Yeah. And at 25 years old or whatever he is, he can.
Plus, he bike rides all the time.
But I've never not seen him eating, ever. He's sitting in the producer's booth eating. He's in the hallway eating. He's in the studio eating. He's eating at his desk. He's just a consumption machine.
Yeah, there's a dual purpose, really. Not only is he a wonderful producer, but whenever there's food anywhere in the building, I know about it because Bennett finds it first
right. And
comes and then tells me.
And he weighs about 47 pounds, which makes it even more annoying. But if you need a goat, Bennett will eat anything. let's go to Memorial Day weekend here. Any big plans for anybody? Are you all doing the standard fare? Weather's going to suck tomorrow, but maybe get better by Sunday, Monday.
Fifth Third Bike the Drive Sunday.
What's the forecast for Sunday morning? I haven't looked.
A little bit.
A little dicey?
Chance of a shower or so.
But at least it's warm, so
yeah,
you won't be cold and wet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to be okay.
It's better to be warm and wet.
Yes.
It is. It says scattered showers and storms. Uh-oh.
How about Monday? What do we got for Monday?
Mary with the gloom,
yeah,
increasing
thanks,
clouds with scattered showers and storms.
So basically summertime forecast.
Yes.
All weekend long.
Rain all weekend long. I have the 2-year-old birthday party on Saturday. For little Corey.
Nice.
Yes, in Madison.
It's a good time. Abigail Gray's staying with us all weekend.
Oh, great. Yeah. I can take her to the zoo?
Not if it's raining. She likes to go to the carousel.
Oh.
Yeah, so we'll be doing some of that indoor stuff.
The range?
Can't get her to go to the range.
No.
I'm waiting for a new custom putter to be delivered, and if that comes in, I'm going to have to convince her we need to go practice.
There
that's
you go.
Exciting.
Get her started.
You'd think how much I've been bitching about my golf game, I would have quit by now, but no, not so much.
You have a nice golf shirt on today. Are you going to practice?
Not unless Abigail clears it.
Well,
but
I don't
as
think
you
that's
know,
gonna happen.
And you'll find out more and more as your grandkids get older. There's nothing like a little kid saying a grown-up thing. And at 3 and a half last night, she looked at Amy, who was at the house for a while, in Amy's old room, and she said, Grandma is going to sleep with me in your room so I feel more comfortable. Is that okay, Amy?
She said, so I feel more comfortable?
Yes.
That's so cute.
That's nice. She asked if it was okay.
Word for word.
She could have said, because we don't want you there.
Well, that's what she said to me.
Oh.
We got to get the top six. Let's roll it.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't kick. Get your kicks. With the top six 666. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one is actually breaking news overseas. Theresa May has announced she will step down as British Prime Minister on June 7th. Why is that a big deal? Well, because she kind of runs the country. And they will have to find a new prime minister, likely to be a conservative, hardline type, possibly even
Boris Johnson
of the bad Beatles haircut and the Brexit guy that says they can leave without a deal. And it's not an exaggeration to say that if England leaves without a deal, if the UK leaves without a deal from Brexit, you could literally have food, gas, and medicine shortages within a week because there's no product supply lines available. Decoupling yourself. What was the thing that Gwyneth Paltrow said?
Conscious uncoupling.
Conscious uncoupling from the rest of Europe is not so easy.
You know, they're already in the UK stockpiling things. And one of the big stories, this was like a couple of weeks ago, toilet paper. They've bought tons and tons of toilet paper with the idea that if they don't have a deal when they leave Brexit, that's going to be one of the biggest things that people will have shortages of. And so they're trying to stockpile as much toilet paper as possible.
And you can't ration certain things in life. That's just it. I just wish that President Trump, as another world leader, would pay attention and go, well, if she resigned, I can resign too. You know how he likes to do things bigger? He can resign more. He can set resign records. Because yesterday, the president and Nancy Pelosi had a 12-year-old fight. Well, 12's an insult. 10, 8-year-old fight where Nancy Pelosi said the family ought to have an intervention and I'm praying for him. And then he responded again, calling himself a stable genius, and said Nancy Pelosi's coming apart and she sure isn't what she used to be. And then his attorney, Rudy Giuliani, retweeted a fake video slowed down of Nancy Pelosi to make her appear drunk. That's what we're dealing with. So proud. Next, Cook County judge ordered the case file and the aborted prosecution of actor Jesse Smollett unsealed, marking a victory for news organizations, which means the closed records of a lot of how the nonsense went down will be available if there's anything new to see. Next, beach season is on. Illinois has Lake Michigan beaches from Zion near the Wisconsin border, south of Calumet Beach and 90th Street in Chicago. Island Park's Rosewood Beach, Chicago's 26 miles of beaches, all open as of
this weekend.
Do they open today? Or they wait till Monday?
No. They're open. It must be today.
Yeah, there were, I saw people at the beaches
tomorrow.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is that the lifeguards start duty this weekend. So that's the only big difference you'll see besides people on the beach.
How long before we get our first contaminated water? The beaches are closed. Warning. Is that tomorrow?
I'm guessing tomorrow since the weather.
Next, it's been a ridiculous spring. This has been the worst weather spring that I can remember. April didn't exist. May is soon to be over and has barely existed. After a series of weather crises in the Midwest this spring, meteorologists are warning of continued heavy rain and flood risks and the possibility of tornadoes into early next week. Isn't that swell?
If you pull it up on your phone, just the generic, you know, weather thing, it's like that cloud with rain on every single
day. Forecast, yeah.
Yeah, for the whole month.
Later tonight and into the overnight hours tonight is a very good chance of severe weather for the Chicago area, including damaging winds and large hail. So tonight would be one of those nights to turn on that weather radio before you go to bed.
Yeah, and by the way, you can download about a million different apps that have weather alerts that'll fire off like a siren in the night if you don't have access to a weather radio or don't get one today. Next, Harvey Weinstein has reached a deal with his accusers. He and the former studio's board members have reached a tentative $44 million deal to resolve lawsuits by women filed against him of sexual misconduct by the New York State Attorney General. You remember the highly attractive, debonair and classy Harvey Weinstein, after urinating into a potted plant, also said to one woman, come on, everybody does this.
It's like 80 women on that list.
Could not be a bigger pig.
Yeah.
He needs to go to jail for a very, very, very long time. Next, Aaron Rodgers can't chug a beer. Packers offensive lineman David Bakhtiari was chugging a lot of beers at the Bucs game, but Rodgers couldn't keep up. Christian Yelich joined in as well, but he was no match for David either. One more time, Aaron Rodgers can't chug a beer. You call yourself a Wisconsin resident?
Have you seen the video?
Uh-uh.
It is. So this was so at the Bucs game, and they put him on the video board. First, Bakhtiari chugs two beers really quickly. Then they cut to Rodgers.
Well, he points up, and he's
he points up at the
you
board.
You go, Aaron.
Rodgers picks up the beer and starts to
How far did he go?
I got about halfway down, put it down, and later he tweeted, "Make it scotch next time."
Oh yeah, and sure. Yeah,
he held up his finger like while he was drinking, like I'm going to try this, but. And then Yelich.
And then Christian Yelich of the Brewers, who doesn't even look like he's 21. Yeah. He's 27, I think. But he had about the same results as Rogers. Neither. And then Bakhtiari got into it with a fan a chugging contest. And
Bakhtiari drank a lot of beer last
night. I hope Bakhtiari wasn't driving anywhere.
I hope not.
First caller for Lou coming up, 312-981-7200. What's on your mind about your place that you need help with from Lou?
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
Good morning, buddy.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm wet.
What do you mean?
It's just I'm tired to the brain, like everybody else.
I see you more as soggy. That's how I think of you. I think of you as soggy, soggy. Lou. Soggy Lou.
Soggy's a good word.
It is a good word.
I did something funny, but you don't know it. On the rundown that I do for Steve every morning, mm-hmm. It has some descriptions. And today, Steve, do you see what I wrote?
Big Lou.
Big Lou, even though he's skinny.
No, Big Lou.
I wrote Big Lou to be funny.
Well, yeah, that's because I mentioned this. I once got a massage from somebody called Tiny Mike, who was a former All-American lineman from the University of Pittsburgh, who weighed 320 pounds.
Tiny Mike, yeah. I love those.
The opposites.
Those people. Right.
Hey. Right there, Big Lou.
Right, exactly.
Let's go to Candy. Candy is, where are you, Candy?
I'm in Henrico, Virginia.
And what part of Virginia is that?
That's right by Richmond, just west of Richmond.
Oh, that's a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous, but I lived in northern Illinois my entire life till last year.
So why'd you move to Virginia?
Grandkids and kids.
Well, you're a good woman.
I know.
All right, what's your question for Lou?
Okay, we have a deck that is mostly covered, but it still gets a lot of sun. We are trying to figure out if we're going to stain it again, or somebody was telling us about different products. One was like a rubberized product you could spread on it, different coverings like that, and I just want Lou's opinion.
There's a company called Ames, A-M-E-S, Ames Researcher. Yeah, AmesResearch.com, I think, is their website. They make a bunch of these synthetic coatings that you're talking about, and they make a deck-over product that is a rubberized coating that is pretty substantial. And it's almost, you're putting this epoxy coating. It's a pretty thick film. It does expand and contract, but it is a film-forming product, meaning that anything that covers it like a film could get water underneath it or, expansion and contraction. Obviously, in Virginia, you don't get the kind of weather winters that we get here, but it still gets cold. And I think that if it were me and the wood is in decent repair, I'd pressure wash it. One of my favorite oil-based stains is a product called Penofin. It's a rosewood oil-based.
How would you spell that?
P-E-N-O-F-I-N, Penofin.com. You can find a dealer near you. They also make a cleaner called Protec Cleaner, which is really, really good. And it helps to open up the fibers of the wood so it can accept the stain. You brush this on, and you actually apply this as if you were finishing a table. You brush it on 2-3 boards at a time, then you wait about 5 minutes, and then you go back and you wipe it off. And it's really terrific.
He says it like we've all finished a table before.
Yeah, well, who hasn't? Who hasn't done a table like I'm going to do all weekend?
Yeah. Refinishing a table is a really fun project.
Candy, congratulations. You have won what?
A desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC.
And also, Candy, Michael is going to get a hold of the people at Lou Malnati's after the show and send you some frozen pizza.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
You need a little taste of home there in Virginia. You can't be eating that terrible pizza.
That's good. Right.
All the best to you. Hold on so we can get some more information like your address and stuff. All right, Lou, this rain, this swamp that we currently live in, what is your number one concern?
mosquitoes.
What do we do about it?
Well, I mean, it's once it starts to warm up, I'm really concerned about all the standing water. I was out in Elburn, Illinois on Sunday looking at the fields out there that the farmers can't plow into, and the amount of standing water was just incredible. And it's true even in around the surrounding areas where we're all populated. I'll tell you what. You want to be a good neighbor, not only for you, but for your whole neighborhood. Go out to the hardware store and buy a bunch of these mosquito dunks. They're these little donuts that you can kind of toss into that standing water. Won't harm the birds, but it does keep the larvae of the mosquitoes from forming, and you can really have a dramatic effect. They are not expensive. If you have any standing water on your property at all, I highly recommend.
So even an inch or so in a corner of your yard or something.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if it's the size of something you can broom away, then just do that. But if it's like, wow, look at how deep that is, and it's just sitting there because the ground is so saturated, but it is going to be mosquito heaven. Whoever those people are that work in the factory that makes the spray off for your body, they're working a third shift, I promise you.
Mosquito dunks, dunk like Dunkin' Donuts spelling?
Like mosquito dunks, like Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. All right, so when the water recedes in that particular area, what, do you just toss them out? Or
no, they'll dissolve.
Oh, they dissolve.
They dissolve. Okay. Yeah, they look like little mini donuts.
Okay.
And it is what it does is it forms a little film over the water, and the larvae can't, I guess, germinate.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's very good. Yeah. And I asked you, Lou, last week as part of your homework to give me your most interesting product in Ace Hardware you'd like to highlight for the rest of us.
Okay. So I was thinking about that and the different products that we have. And there is a mosquito product that we have now that's called a mosquito eradicator. And it is these two tubes that you fill halfway with water. It's filled with sucrose and yeast. And the whole idea is you hang this on two ends of your property in a corner, and it attracts all kinds of mosquitoes. And the claim from the company is it will lower the mosquito population on your property by 95%.
Wow. That's a big
eradicator. And it's you just add water to it and you hang it. It kind of looks like a bird feeder, but it is an attractant. Hmm. The mosquitoes go into it. In particular, it works really well if you don't live next to the woods or something like that, which is a big attractant for mosquitoes. And it's a really, really cool product.
Steve Grzanich, you get the last word in just a second. Two quick texters here. 502. Cochran, why don't you blame the weather on Trump? There's no question this weather is Trump's fault. In April and May, Mother Nature's been crying because Trump has been so terrible. 708. Hey, Lou, I'm looking to protect a finish on my dark gray dining room table, so I don't always need to cover it with a tablecloth, something that will stand spills, rolling dice when we play games, but not be obvious, nothing real shiny. What do you got?
A satin finish spar varnish. And what I would do is I would first use a product called Howard's Restore Finish on there to kind of smooth out the finish that you have with quadruple zero steel wool. This is part of that table refinishing that you and Mary are going to do. Then you're going to take spar varnish and you're going to do a thin coat on the top. You're going to thin it a little bit with mineral spirits first, just a little bit of it, so that it soaks in. Use steel wool to knock that down, then a full strength over the top. Super durable. And, you know, you can still get water rings if you put,
a hot drink there.
Yeah. So I would definitely still use coasters because of the wood and the finish, but spar varnish is very durable.
And Steve Grzanich, last word.
I just want to say thank you and give you a big salute, Lou, because a couple of weeks ago, remember you gave me some suggestions about dealing with birds and vents. I cleaned out all the nests from the vents and sprayed the Bonide Repel all around all of those vents.
Yep.
And it worked like a charm.
Wow.
The birds
like
went away.
Yeehaw. Salute.
And I have to tell you, that stuff is the worst smelling stuff I have ever smelled
in
my life.
It does say repels all.
It was awful.
Including humans.
That deer stuff that Lou told me to use is the worst smelling. And it got in my hair. I had to take a shower.
What deer stuff?
To spray on the trees so the deers don't eat my trees.
You sure you didn't use deer urine by accident or something?
Yeah, no, I think it was Bonnet. It was a repel.
It was probably Repel's all.
Yeah. I was the one who used the coyote urine, which was terrible. Mm-hmm. And I got some. Yeah.
I got to tell you, if it has urine in the title, you probably stick
yeah, but
it,
you're, you would you're think
pretty,
it works.
Yeah, you're pretty confident it's not going to smell good.
Probably not going to be great. Big Memorial Day plans?
You know what? Our youngest son, Massimo Manfredini, graduates from Notre Dame College Prep tomorrow
morning. Congratulations, Massimo. I remember when that squirt was born.
How about it, Steve? Yeah.
Crazy.
We've come a long way.
We're old.
And he's 18 years old.
Wow.
A beautiful baccalaureate mass last night for Notre Dame College Prep and all these fine young men who started as little boys and now, you know, off to their next chapter. So we're super proud and super excited.
As you should be. All right. God bless. Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
That's Lou Manfredini. We're back with the headlines next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Remember to tell your kids, your grandkids, what Memorial Day is all about. Memorial Day weekend. Sure. Have that barbecue. Sure. Play a little 16-inch softball. Like, that's real. Get outside when you can if it's not raining. Have fun, all that. But remember that Memorial Day was established as a holiday to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. There is a great celebration that goes on downtown here. We can tell you more about that later in the show. Mark Doyle joins us now because we love what he does with Rags of Honor, and we think it's appropriate to talk about it right now. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you?
I am well.
Good, good. Don't hang up when we're done because I need to talk to you off the air because I need to order a lot of gear.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. That is great. Thank you.
So remind everybody what Rags of Honor does.
Rags of Honor is a silkscreen and apparel company devoted to hiring homeless and at-risk veterans.
And those folks go to work for you. It gives them a sense of purpose. Also, frankly, it does what every job does. Helps them build a life.
It helps them build a life. And one of the things we talk about a lot and your listeners have heard is, you know, the dignity that comes just with having a job is life-changing. And imagine you serve your country, you end up to no fault of your own, lose your job, go through your savings, end up in a shelter, nowhere to turn. The first step back is to get a job. And so we pay a living wage, and we help these men and women just find their path back. And so everybody listening knows, as you all know, when they come to us, they don't stay homeless. We know we make sure they end up in an apartment. And just, again, we just put the dignity that comes with having a job and the camaraderie that we're seeing all the time with the men and women who work for us who share two bonds. One, they've been in military, and two, they've been homeless or struggling or at risk. And so there's a real bond that we see for.
And there is, along with that great sense of camaraderie, an opportunity for you to spend money on great gear. I mean, it's high-quality stuff, your shirts and your tops and your hats and all that stuff. I mean, it's really high-quality stuff. So if you've never ordered from Rags of Honor, this is a great weekend to fix your problem and get Rags of Honor gear. What's the website?
RagsofHonor.us. And I would say this, there are 18 Walmarts around the state. Walmart has taken a huge step with us and launched us into 200 Walmart stores around the country with four new designs. Made in America, designed by our team.
That's great.
They're in the stores this weekend, and there are, just call a Walmart near you. We're going to probably have them posted up on the website over the weekend, about 18 different Walmarts, one in Niles here, and then around the state, that you can go in and support a veteran and buy a Rags of Honor t-shirt.
That is tremendous. How's the coffee business?
Coffee business is growing tremendously. We continue to sort of pick up a little bit of steam and pick up more and more clients. We are thankful to folks like Hyatt Hotels, who is in conversations with us now to make us the coffee for their corporate, and one of their chains. We're in negotiations with them to hopefully have Cup of Joe be what you drink when you go to a Hyatt house or a Hyatt place.
Nice.
And Del Frisco's continues to be a tremendous partner for us, and our friends at Host out at the airport are now serving our cold brew. So we hired a tremendous young man out of a shelter, a kid named Sterling. Started about a month ago. Just life-changing for a young man who had no family, lost everything in a shelter. 6 weeks later, he's on his third paycheck, and we're looking at an apartment for him. So
excellent.
Step by step, one t-shirt at a time, one cup of coffee at a time.
It's great to hear. What's the Cup of Joe website?
VeteranRoasters.com. You can buy it online, And we ship right to your door. And we have a subscription. If you like it so much, sign up for the subscription. Get it every month.
You mentioned Del Frisco's and other great partners. I was really disappointed when they closed here.
Yeah.
Because they have great locations around the country. If you're listening wherever you listen around the country, if I'm, for instance, in Dallas and L.A. and Washington, I believe, and certainly in New York.
Philadelphia.
So wherever you're traveling, I hope you go there, and I hope they are able to find a location that works here in Chicago and come back soon.
Yeah, they're such a great partner. As you know, when they heard what we were doing, my wife Kip is friends with the CEO. He said, "Well, we got to make a change." So they bought out of an existing contract with a huge company just to bring our coffee in.
Pretty special, man.
But what they've seen. Coffee sales have tripled at the restaurants around the country, and dessert sales are up 12%.
That's tremendous. Because it's obviously paid off.
Yeah, when the waitstaff tells the story, people say, you know what, I wasn't going to have coffee. I'll have a cup of coffee now. So not unlike WGN listeners, people have empathy for those who wore the uniform. And when you just give them a simple way, T-shirt, ball cap, cup of coffee, to pay them back, they always rise to the occasion.
Before I let you go, you and I have been friends a long time. I'm sure we've disagreed on a couple of minor things, but have I ever called myself a stable genius? I'm just doing a check here.
No, but I think you should have, frankly.
And you've never felt like you had to have an intervention for me?
No, but thankfully for me, you were there for me, so well, I owe you one.
We continue to pray for each other. That part's fine. Other than that, we have no idea what's going on in this country. All right, buddy, all the best. A hug to your wife, and happy Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a great day and a great weekend.
Sorry, buddy, love you back. And the Chicago Blackhawks have been great partners for Rags of Honor as well, as they are with so many folks.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, before anybody tells me, check your sleep settings on your TV. The office TV was on again this morning. It's a poltergeist. I got a ghost.
Could be.
Did you see one of our texters said that they had a neighbor that was on the same, like,
that's
panel
when the neighbor
thing?
Would turn on the TV?
Yeah, in their house, yeah. Because is that the only TV?
So it's a neighbor messing with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the only TV that turns on.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a house with a window that would sort of, and I don't know that these people that have not been in their house.
Sure.
But there is a window. If their TV is near that, I could see where the remote could hit my TV.
Or they could stand at the window and just point their remote at your TV.
Oh, they could totally be messing with me.
You know, a good way to short-circuit that would be to put a piece of black electrical tape over it before you to test it out to see if that's what's happening.
Black electrical tape over what?
Over the area where, because every you should be able to see it on your TV
where the remote hits,
where you're supposed to press. It's like a little bit of...
So cover it up every night.
Sure, why not?
So,
if you think that's what's happening, it'd be a good way to find
out.
It'd be a good test.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible.
But does it go on every night?
It's not every night. That's a weird thing.
Right,
it's only when the ghost
TV.
Is there.
Yeah.
And now that you have Abigail staying with you, you don't
but
want that happening.
But you can change your remote code, apparently, they had said. So that is, change it off your neighbor's code.
I shouldn't do the neighborly thing and get, like, black lightless curtains and hang those.
Yeah, no.
Well, the good thing is if their remote changes your TV, there's a good chance your remote changes their TV.
Now you're talking. A little something called Pucks and Prog coming
up. Your neighbors are probably like, oh, my God, why is our TV keep switching to the news? This is depressing us.
Well, what's funny is the neighbors that I'm speaking of, I don't know them because, you know, people don't know their neighbors anymore. Like the woman that used to live in the house, their kids grew up with my kids and you know, knew them completely. She moved out because other people moved in. The woman, the wife, I assume, because they have kids, not that she has to be a wife, but couldn't be nicer. Very nice. A lovely conversation with her when they first moved in. Haven't said a word to her since.
Well, that's on you.
Well, it's not on me because she sees me. I see you do a quick little wave. What am I going to make brownies and bring them over?
Yeah.
And but the guy who lives next door, and again, it's just a social thing. I'm not giving the guy a hard time, but he goes out of his way not to interact. And maybe he's a fan of Eric. I don't know. but it's just weird how that's changed. Dave, I don't know how you know your neighbors. Well, you hang out with your neighbors.
He's like best friends.
I do.
With him,
yes, but then there are neighbors behind us who just put up a big fence. So I had gone to them and it went around. You had to go all the way around the block to introduce ourselves to them and figure out, because we were going to cut down some.
You said we're the people you're trying not to see?
Yeah, we're the people behind. Well, actually, it wasn't about the fence. It was about some trees we were cutting down. Uh-huh. And they're very, very nice, but now they put this big fence up. I don't think we'll ever see them again.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, these folks next door, I'm sure they're great people. And they have every right in the world to keep to themselves. But it's just, I think, I'm just saying it's different than it used to be. Yes, people used to know their neighbors.
And you used to bring the brownies over.
But when it's nice out and Abigail's of that age, that's a people attractor. If she's in your yard.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they, you said they have kids.
That's a mess. So I got to keep her inside. Yeah.
We help each other out.
Otherwise, I got to start interacting.
You help with your neighbors?
Yeah. I mean, they're awesome. They've gotten locked out of the house a couple times. We've helped them out.
And oh, I get that. I mean, that's a neighbor thing, even if you don't talk to your neighbors. But the normal, hey, it's a, you know, like, for instance, there's a guy who lived near me who had no idea when to stop talking. And you'd have to, like, sneak into the garage and go, hey, great guy, fabulous guy. If you're on a golf course with him for 4 hours, great. He'd start talking on the first tee. He wouldn't stop till you putted out an 18. You know, those type of people, those relationships, I just don't see those as much as used to. Or is it me?
No, I don't think it's you necessarily. But my neighbor did come over. I was putting up new outdoor light fixtures over the weekend on Sunday. And so my neighbor came up to help me. And my next door neighbor came over and took pictures of us.
Oh, that's nice.
Putting up the light fixtures.
And what
fixtures.
Did he do with those pictures?
Put them on the internet on some saucy light-changing website.
You know, another good way to meet your neighbors, Dave, you'll agree with this, is to have a dog that you walk around.
Yeah, the we have a heavy dog block.
Yeah, me too.
So
you mean the fat dogs? All the fat dogs are in your block?
No, all the dogs.
No, you said a heavy dog.
Not heavy dogs.
Oh, that's not just what you meant. What do I know? Yeah, Amy, when she bought a new house this winter, she moved in January, or early February maybe. And terrible ice, and part of that crazy winter weather that we had. And I'm out chipping the ice off her driveway. And the neighbor comes over and you know, helps me break up the ice. And then we sang The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. The legend lives on. All right, we're coming up. Pucks in Prague. We'll explain what that is on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, we're not going to be Hawks Convention. Yeah, I'm going to be in town this year for Hawks Convention.
Yeah, good.
Normally, I'm out of town
or you have
playing a golf tournament.
Yeah.
You know, an annual event thing.
Good.
So I'm going to be there parking cars at the hotel.
Oh, is that right?
So
we'll do the opening ceremony.
I talked to McDonough and Jay Blunk and everybody, and they said, we would love to have you at the convention wear a vest that says valet. So.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah, you and I are going to do the opening ceremonies again,
great,
right?
Great.
You don't need row. I'm back, baby.
Glad to have you back.
Does Ro know?
I'll tell him.
Of his duties?
I'll tell him.
Okay.
Well, no, he's downstairs, and we're in the ballroom, and that's last year I just went solo. But I'll just be subtle.
I'll tell Ro you're not welcome upstairs.
I wouldn't put it that way.
Oh, okay. Chicago Blackhawks up in the 2019-2020 season with the Czech Republic on Friday, October 4th against the Flyers, and we want to send you to the game. Now, you listen to this show, well, it's good for you. It's like kale, but it tastes better. And it's Thursday, June 6th at 7:40. We're going to start the Wacky Fun. Thursday?
Tuesday. Oh, wait. The Wacky Fun. You mean the trip or the one we're starting
to qualify?
For the trip.
Listen to the show weekdays.
Weekdays through.
Oh, through
Thursday.
Through.
Yeah,
through.
Tuesday. Thursday. Next Tuesday.
So I should
starting.
Read all the words?
It might help.
I give you a window when you want to make sure you're listening. To the Ro Khan Show with Anna Devonta. Remember the money clip? Remember how we did the money clip?
Yes.
This is the money clip with hockey. And the difference is you're going to qualify to win tickets to go on Pucks in Prague.
So you get a clip with tickets in it?
Joe will pick a hockey clip, Dave.
I got you.
A hockey clip.
I got you.
To play in the morning, and Ro will repeat it in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
When you're the specified number caller on the Ro Show, you can also win a Blackhawks fan package. Now, that includes four tickets to the Blackhawks convention, a signed replica jersey, a signed hockey stick, a signed puck and photo, and you'll be qualified to win a trip for two to Prague. It'll be eight qualifying packages. This is what I like. I mean, you know, eight's not a lot.
Yeah.
You got a good chance. You qualify? You got a very good chance at winning this trip to Prague.
Like one in eight.
Almost exactly. We're going to be announced on Friday, June 7th. We're actually going to start Tuesday morning at 7:40, huh?
We are.
Tuesday morning at 7:40 on the Steve Cochran
Show. Would
you call
it Wacky Fun? Or
the Wacky Fun.
The Wacky Fun, yeah.
It's Friday. Don't count on me for anything. Complete details, including official rules, WGNradio.com/contest. Pucks in Prague, trip for two. And I'm going to be hosting that trip.
So would you then learn? Not only will you meet the winner, but, yeah, but maybe you'll actually like break bread in Prague with them.
I'll skate with them.
Even better.
Hand in hand at the Prague Community Arena. But we're going to have fun. We're going to have a very, very,
it's gonna be a great trip. Good time.
As Abigail Grace would say, we're going to have so much fun. It's 7:17 and a half or so. And we'll do the MVPP coming up.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
If you hear clicking, because I have a sucker in my mouth. And the reason I have a sucker in my mouth is our MVPP, Alina Morse, just turned 14, and this week landed Walgreens as a buyer for her all-natural candy that cleans your teeth. It means 25,000 stores will sell her innovative candy line. I mentioned she's 14. She'll showcase four additional product lines at the, is it Zolli or Michael or Zolli? I guess I could ask Alina. Candy company during Chicago Sweets and Snacks
that,
Expo
that already,
this
the
week.
Expo was this week, just saying.
It's over today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Alina, the youngest person ever to grace the cover of Entrepreneur magazine in 2018. Success magazine named her a 30 under 30. InStyle magazine named her one of the badass 50. Meet the women who are changing the world.
This girl's a rock star. I've seen her all over TV.
Mm-hmm. And Alina shared her vision of schools of the future during a TED Talk. I didn't even know you could do a TED Talk at 14. Wouldn't it be a Teddy Talk if you're 14?
What did we call her? She's a kidpreneur?
Kidpreneur. Not an entrepreneur, a kidpreneur. Changing the world. Good morning, Alina.
Good morning.
I'm having one of your orange Zolli. Is it Zolli or Zolli?
Zolli.
I'm having one of your orange Zolli pops right now.
Get it? Like lollipop, Zolli pop?
Nothing gets by me.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the real question is, do you like it?
I do like it. Yeah, I do like it. Perfect. I thought because it's...
We were prepared to hate it.
Yeah, because it's good for you, I thought it would taste like, you know, I thought it tastes bad, but it tastes like an orange lollipop.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
So, Alina, at age 7, you started thinking about how you could make better candy?
Yeah, so when I was 7 years old, I went to the bank with my dad. The bank teller offered me a lollipop, and my dad told me that I shouldn't have candy because sugar is terrible for your teeth. So I asked him, well, why can't we make a healthy lollipop that's good for my teeth so I could have candy and it wouldn't be bad for me?
That's
and
a
after about
good
2 years
question.
Of research and plant trials, we finally created lollipops.
You mean it took you to your 9? You lazy kid, you. That's amazing. Between 7 and 9 years old, where were you doing the testing?
Well, a lot of our initial trials for our product was actually in our kitchen. And when that didn't turn out so well, and my parents were sick and tired of me ruining our stovetop, we had scoped out a couple of manufacturing facilities, and we did about 18 plant trials before we had finally found one that we liked.
Now, we have the clean teeth drops, the clean teeth pops. What do you have over there, Samberg?
We got taffy. It's the
clean teeth taffy.
Yep.
And then a different kind of drops
as well?
And
it's all sugar-free, gluten-free, vegan, dairy-free, natural colors.
Well, what's this product line? Zolli Pop, Zolli Drop, Zolli Taffy, Zolli Caramels, Clean Teeth Caramel, Zolli Gummies, Zolli Beans, Zolli Cookies, and Zolli Ball Pops as well, you know, like a Tootsie Pop kind of look. What's your favorite of all of those?
I mean, I have to say one of my favorites is the original. You know, you gotta love just the original Zolli Pops, but it really kind of depends on my mood. Because they're all so great, and you know, when you want something chocolate, there's a vegetarian chocolate, there's, you know, a ball pop if you want to suck on something for, you know, a little bit longer. And so, you know, there's just so many choices, and I'm so, you know, excited to be coming out with all these new products.
Hey, Alina, do you use this business as an excuse to not get things done at home? Like, hey, I'd love to make my bed, but I'm busy running a giant company. of healthy food.
That's exactly right. I don't need errands and chores.
Well, unfortunately, I can't use that excuse because my parents are in on the company, too.
Oh.
So they could pull that on me, too. They could say, well, you know, because we're running a company, I can't make your lunch today.
Ah, fair enough. Fair enough. Good for them, by the way. Dave?
Can you explain, Elena, how these products actually clean your teeth?
Yeah, so after you have basically anything to eat in this day and age, everything has acid in it. So when you eat something, the acid burns little holes in your tooth enamel, which some people mistake for plaque. But really, it's little holes in your enamel. And that's obviously really unhealthy and makes your mouth very susceptible to tooth decay. But what Zollipops do is they naturally raise the pH of your mouth, they neutralize the acid, and they actually strengthen your tooth enamel. So it takes away the bacteria that causes cavities and tooth decay.
Wow. You know, you are an actual stable genius.
Yeah.
I mean, the real deal.
That is amazing.
You're the real deal.
10% of the profits go to support oral health education in schools.
Well, I'm looking at the Zollipops. It's the original Zollipop is the one I have, right? The flat one, not the ball one?
Yep.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, nut-free, vegan, non-GMO, natural flavors and colors. And I'm telling you, this orange Zollipop, getting it done. And strawberry, grape, pineapple, orange, raspberry, and cherry all in your Zollipop bag. What's a bag cost?
Yep. The bag could cost anywhere from $5 to $7.
It's fine.
Depending on where you buy it.
That's fine. You get your kids. Your kids want a treat afterwards.
Hand these out at Halloween.
Bang.
Yeah.
You're changing the world, Elena.
Oh, thank you so much.
What do you want to do? You know, now that you're an incredible success, are you going to finish high school, or are you just going to, you know, just tell?
Well, you know, I have my first year of high school next year. I'm really excited, and you know, I do plan to go to college for business. But you know, there's so many other paths that I could take. Short-term goals.
Now, you don't have to have it all figured out at 14. It's just incredible what you've done so far.
Yeah.
You know, Richard Branson didn't start his first business till he was 16. He's clearly a slacker. Elena was working on this at 7, 8, and 9 years old. It's amazing. Well, we're happy to have you on the show. We're proud to have you on the show. And thanks for the candy, by the way.
Thank you so much. And, oh, of course.
And you are the most valuable person on the planet. And I will remind people that you can get these at Walmart. You can get them at Target. You can get them at Mariano's. Where else?
You can get them at CVS and Walgreens. We just got into those retailers, and that's very exciting for
unbelievable.
Us.
Unbelievable.
And then also on Amazon.com.
Z-O-L-L-I, Zollipops. And kicking some money back charitably as well, and it's not cheap to make all this stuff either. It's amazing. Really, really super cool and nicely done by you. So let's stay in touch because you're clearly going places, and I'm going to need to ride your coattails.
Well, you know, let's stay in touch. We can work something out.
That's what I'm talking about. And give a hug to your mom and dad. Obviously, they're great parents. Oh, by the way, brothers and sisters or no?
I do. I have a younger sister. Her name is Lola. She's 9. And she actually came up with a name for Zollipops.
Oh, she did? Well, good. So she's a part of the company.
Yep. It's a family business. We all
crazy.
We all work together. And, you know, it's just really great to work with my family.
And they all have great teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, how many Zollipops do I have to have a winning smile?
You know, really, you can have as many as you want, but you already have a winning smile.
Thank you.
Oh, listen to this
thank
girl.
You.
I'm just trying to protect it.
She's a deal.
Very nice.
A deal maker right
By
here.
The way, you can have 3 Zollipops, and it's only 30 calories.
I know. Look at that.
10 calories a piece. That's unbelievable.
It's impressive.
Happy weekend. Thank you again. You're the most valuable person on the planet. Hold on. We're going to give you something that isn't good for your teeth.
Steve, on the text line from the 224, just an honorable mention of an MVPP. My son has autism, and today is his last day of high school. I'm so proud. At times, we didn't think he would make it this far. Great job, Zach.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That is a wonderful thing to hear.
Yeah.
And good job,
good
Mom.
Good for him. Congratulations.
And
I love these schools that graduate before Memorial Day. Might as well kick off the summer when summer, you know, like.
When did you get out of school?
Like, what?
High school.
I graduated in 1994.
No, I know. What month?
We graduated in May, but the public school went till June.
East Coast, we went to the end of June.
We went to late June every year.
That sounds like a buzzkill to me.
But we also went to school we didn't start till after Labor Day.
Oh, I might have been senior sliding for quite a bit of that May also.
Yeah, how'd you get summer jobs? Because it would be so hard if you were
graduating. Everybody.
You know, because Mary...
in your area, yeah.
Mary, back then we got summer jobs because you had to get summer jobs to support the family.
That's right.
I had to work at Arthur Treacher's.
The grass didn't stop growing during the summer.
That's exactly right.
I was getting a bagel yesterday when I picked up my car in Libertyville at this place called Bagels by the Book, and it was filled with kids who must be home from college, freshmen that all just got home, and they were all in there talking, and they're like, my mom is making me get a job this summer. Oh my God, my mom. They're all like talking about how they have to get jobs, but nobody had jobs. And...
yeah, and whatever happened to babysitting, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody has babies anymore.
Population is shrinking.
Yes. Tell that to Ross and Lauren. Whatever happened to wanting to get a summer job because you'd like a little extra money?
I think they just want people to deposit money into their accounts.
Yeah. The problem starts at home.
When you have parents doing direct deposit, it's right.
They have parent pail instead of PayPal.
They're paying for $1.50 bagel with their debit card. I was like, just funny.
Yeah, and it's not a debit card that they put their own money in their own account, I'm guessing. Anyway, we're super impressed with Alina, and if you have a child that started a multi-billion-dollar business, feel free to let us know. And MVPP, you can get a hold of who to get this done.
Michael Heidemann. Just go ahead and call me or text me or find us on Facebook.
Because you don't know how to spell Heidemann, or you don't want to go for it?
I just M-H-E-I-D-E-M-A-N-N at WGNRadio.com. But if you're driving, you can't write
that
down.
That's a lot.
So, yeah.
That's a lot.
You forgot to ask her when she starts driver's ed.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
Safe driver, clean teeth.
See, this is a really good thing. This is nothing like the Aunt Becky situation. You know, Aunt Becky and Massimo, they have a daughter who's making a couple of million bucks in her social media thing. And the kid's a dingbat. But clearly, she has no business being in college. She's really good at social media. She's really good at being an endorser for products. And they tried to shove her into college. This kid, Alina, is a brilliant kid. Grounded. Her parents are still making her do chores. It's a family business. You don't have to worry a second about this.
She didn't sound 14.
No. Are you kidding? She's way mature than I've ever been, and I'm 58.
True.
7:34. What are we doing? Come back with the headlines just a second on 720 WGN. And for those of you who are wondering, no, the Hawks Pox and Prague contest does not start today. It starts Tuesday.
Tuesday.
We're going to promote it incessantly. Until then, but do want to give you a heads up that it's going to happen on Tuesday. And for those of you asking about the Zolipops, how does it work? It has xylitol and erythritol in the Zolipops. It makes natural it's a naturally rises the pH in your mouth, neutralizes the acid, and strengthens your tooth enamel to take away the bacteria that causes cavities and tooth decay. So I'm just going to carry them with me at all times. So after every meal, have a lollipop. Or I should say a Zolipop, to be more accurate.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All games on. Some gave on. Some stood through for the red.
If you listen to the show, you know about the commitment to the military and to patriotism, what makes this country great. So I'd be doing a disservice not to bring up a few friends on this day. The first day of Memorial Day weekend. And remind you again to make sure you share with your kids why it's so important. Joining us on the phone is Katie Stack. She was 19 years old when she was left a widow. Lieutenant Corporal James Stack of Arlington Heights was killed in 2010. And their one-year-old daughter, Michaela, was fatherless. In 2011, as a small effort to send care packages to service members overseas in memory of Lieutenant Corporal Stack, has now grown into a massive and hugely successful event in the northwest suburbs. Help USA Troops. Katie Stack is extremely busy, but I appreciate you taking the time to make sure that everybody else knows what you're doing. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm just fine. Obviously, condolences on your loss. It seems so many years ago, but it really isn't to you, and it never will be, and to your little girl as well. I assume Michaela's great?
Yeah, she's doing really good, actually. She's playing softball, getting ready for summer break, and I think we all are.
And she has a sister, too, doesn't she now?
Yeah. My little girl, she's five.
Five.
Two. Oh. So she's in kindergarten. Yeah.
Cute.
Well, Katie, you're an amazing story because that's the type of thing that can stop anyone at any age, and you'd be totally entitled just to curl up in a ball, but you've really made something special out of all of this.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
And still at your very young age. So tell me about Help USA Troops. What is it?
So it's a packing drive that we do once a year, but that's definitely not all we do. So in the month of April, in the month of March, we go around to different restaurants and different facilities, and we drop a box off. And I think we're up to 55 locations at the moment. And so we drop off our box, and then we collect all of the we collect food, we collect just personal needs that they are having trouble receiving or getting when they are overseas. Shampoo, conditioner, beef jerky is a
that's a big hit.
Yeah, exactly.
I like your website is great. I love it says one box at a time until they all come home, because that's still the ultimate goal is we want everybody home.
Yeah, we're going to be doing this until they all come home. So, and then what we also do is we put a little letter in there saying this is in support in memory of my husband. And then after we get it all filled, we and also another big hit is Girl Scout cookies. We there was an organization that actually donated 5,000 Girl Scout cookies this year.
How about that?
Yeah.
Help us out. What Girl Scout cookies ship best? Which of them are the best to ship?
I mean, honestly, any of them, especially because we do it in April, so the heat isn't too exasperating yet. But definitely, I mean, chocolate always melts, but no one has complained about getting the peanut butter. I don't know any of the names about the peanut butter and chocolate one.
I think that's a tag along, or Samoa's favorite.
Yeah.
I would eat one of those melted, no
problem.
If
anybody complains about a tag along, they're obviously not a good person.
Exactly.
So, Katie, you're collecting these things all year long. And I know on the website we have the shopping list for the troops that has the hygiene items, pocket sized food, candy and gum, powdered drinks, miscellaneous, hacky sacks, Ziploc bags, things you just don't even think about. You could go do that. And then, how do people get this stuff to you if they don't drop it in one of the boxes?
Well, our contact info is on our website, so you can always contact us, and we will meet you somewhere and pick up the stuff, because we also have a storage locker. We have actually a really big storage locker, and we're working on getting a pod to store all of the stuff that doesn't expire.
Well, it also sounds like you could use some corporate sponsorship, too. So if anybody's listening from the business side and would like to throw a little money at this, you certainly would be appreciated.
And speaking of money, money is helpful because it costs you money to send these things over there, right?
Yeah, it costs $16.10 to send a box.
Wow.
So, but with that, we also have to pay fees for the shipping website and everything else. So it comes out to about $17 a box. And this year, we were able to send 1,200 boxes.
That's, like, amazing. Can I ask you one question?
Of course.
If people ask Michaela about her dad, you know, I know she was only one, but does she have anything that she has to say about him?
She lives in him. Like, she talks about him all the time, and she's always wanting to know more and learn the stories about him when he was growing up and what we were like when we were dating, because we were actually together in high school.
Aww.
And so she loves learning about all of those stories, and she really likes learning what he'd like to do, and she definitely tries and follows in his footsteps, which is really comforting.
Yeah, that should make you feel very good. It should make you feel wonderful. And she sounds like a great kid.
She is. She's a really good kid.
Help USA Troops. Help USA Troops. .com. So get on the website. Do what you can. And I know you got to get back to business here, so thank you for coming on.
She's taking some kids to school today.
Right. So.
Yeah.
Got to have your priorities, Katie Stone.
A couple.
All right, all the best.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
And because of people like her, you know, husband, we get 3 days off, but...
That's what it is. It's not a mattress sale.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's great if you buy a mattress this weekend. It's great if you buy a car this weekend. It's great if you go out and have a barbecue. You hang out with your friends. But don't forget what Memorial Day is here for. It's to remember people like Lieutenant Corporal James Stack, who died in 2010. How about you're 19 years old, you got a one-year-old, and you get a call or you get a visit that you never want because your husband's been killed in action.
Oh. And then you turn that into something productive.
It's amazing.
I would lay in my bed.
Yeah. I don't know how you just want to curl up in a ball, as I said. I've been lucky enough through all these years on the radio. And Dave, you've been around for an awful lot of these where you meet people who have gone through a living hell like none of us could imagine. And what do? They march right back into it to help others.
Yeah. They turn it into something, an awful situation, into something positive. It's amazing.
It really is.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Yesterday, Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump, the most powerful man in the world, and arguably the most powerful woman in America, certainly. Oprah may get mad at that. They had what amounted to a 10-year-old cat fight. And not for 10-year-old cats, but just they're both acting childish. Trump, of course, leading in that regard. Now, you guys can tell me that you've worked for me on the show for a while. Dave, how was my mood yesterday? Was I calm?
You were calm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sandberg, how was my mood yesterday?
I believe you were calm.
Mm-hmm. And you've seen both.
I have seen both,
mm-hmm.
Steve.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I know.
Super Joe, how was my mood yesterday?
Which part of the day are we talking about?
This is the President of the United States in an impromptu press conference. By the way, Mr. President, impromptu means off the cuff. With his own people, because why wouldn't we believe his own people, especially Sarah Huckabee, Friesen-Glash, and Farfik Nugent Sanders? Listen to how he backs up his behavior and goes up against what Nancy Pelosi said.
High temperament yesterday.
Very calm, no temper tantrum. I told the Facts First crowd, if they published that you were fuming, temper tantrum, rage, lost it, that's just a lie.
Mercedes, you're always a straight talker. You were in that room yesterday?
Yes, sir. You were very calm and you were very direct. And you sent a very firm message to the Speaker and to the Democrats.
There were many people there, by the way. Many people. We can get you 20 other people to say this. What was my attitude yesterday at the meeting?
Mercy's right. Kellyanne's right. You were very calm. And you laid out the case. You had a lot of numbers of what you've contributed in terms of paperwork and witnesses.
But just out of curiosity, you were there. What was my tone yesterday at the meeting?
Very calm. I've seen both, and this was definitely not angry or ranting. Very calm and straightforward and clear.
How do they, in any way, shape, or form, look themselves in the mirror? Unbelievable.
Mercedes Schlapp, who's one of the most partisan...
Yep. Schlapp, the sound it makes whenever she... Well, never mind. News next.
I'm an extremely stable genius.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than one night.
Moron Entertainment. Mm-hmm. Dean Richards, fellow moron, standing by Channel 9.
So, last night, I was at the graduation of my niece and nephew. They're twins.
What are their names?
Katie and Eddie.
Congratulations, Katie and Eddie.
Eddie is my godson.
Isn't that the Billy Joel song, Katie and Eddie? Were
No.
No,
Brenda and Eddie.
Brenda
and Eddie had had it already by the summer of 75, okay. From the height of the low to the end of the show for the rest of their lives.
Wow. Huh?
How about that?
Can we get back to my story now?
You really are Billy Joel.
By the way, Dean, the other day I had lunch with a couple of people, and one of which I hadn't met before, and she looked at me as if she was giving me a compliment and said, "Everybody tell you look like Billy Joel?"
See?
And then I had to go, yeah, the old guy that's nearly dead, that one? Yeah. I get that a lot.
The one that runs into trees?
Yeah, I get that. All right, so Dean, get on with it. What's your story? Why are you taking so long?
So, a lovely ceremony. This is, ironically, this is at the Harold Richards High School in Oak Lawn. And I'm trying to get them to rename it Dean Richards High School. They wouldn't have to change much in the stationery, but it's ironically, it's Richards High School in Oak Lawn. Very, very nice school, really nice people, lovely ceremony. So proud of my niece and nephew. And
better, Brenda or Eddie?
It's Katie.
Oh.
Katie and Eddie. No, I like them both.
Is she a K-A-T-I-E or K-A-T-Y?
K-A-T-I-E.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Real name Catherine.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
standard.
We've called her Katie forever. So, you know, they come out in their little caps and gowns, and, you know, the whole family's hugging, and the mom is, you know, crying, and, you know, it's a very sweet, so lovely family moment. We're all hugging and taking pictures, and somebody strolls over and goes, "Hey, moron." We got the moron fever.
Oh, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
I want to know, do you sign their cards? And I assume there's a check in there that's a hefty check. Do you sign it Uncle Dean?
No, he signs it moron.
Uncle no, you know,
moron.
I should have signed it moron. That would have been good because they would have known exactly who it came from. Interestingly, for all their gifts, I've always signed Uncle Dean, but yesterday I thought you're high school graduates, so I just wrote Dean.
Oh, so you're maturing it up.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, if they want to cut the Uncle Dean part, which I don't know why you would.
Well, let's both cut a deal right now as we go forward with all the autograph requests we get every day. Like last week I got one. You know, that we sign instead of, you know, 6 to 10 a.m. WGN, WGN Morning News, whatever, that we sign underneath our name, moron.
I'm all for that.
Dave was just plugging a restaurant off the air, and he and Sandberg are so excited about it. I thought we should mention it because you're the food guy as well, Dean. So what's the restaurant?
No, I happened to go there last night. I think it's a chain. It's called Bar Taco.
Bar Taco?
Yeah. It's up in Deerfield on Waukegan.
I think there's one on the west side.
I think there are a number of them. There's one.
I'll give you one that's not a chain that's also special tacos. Fire It Up in Naperville. It's tremendous.
So what is it if it's not tacos?
Well, no, it's not a chain.
Oh, it is tacos.
Yeah. It's tacos, and they do something called the truck, which is a burrito that I'd eat every day, three times a day.
After the graduation last night, we went to Papa Joe's in Oak Lawn. Pizza.
Right, hey, I got
some nice pizza salad.
I got a question for you. Well, first, with the MVPP this morning, Dean, was a 14-year-old who started her own multi-billion-dollar business, much like you did when you were 14 and I did when I was 15.
Yep.
But this teeth-cleaning snack business that she has.
You hear that?
Dean continues to play.
That's the Bar Taco website.
Bar Taco, it's about interaction. It's about connecting with the people that you
like. I hate websites that do that.
So do I, because I usually leave the computer on and then it ends up on the air.
Don't want to hear anything.
So so the candy contains xylitol, and a very smart listener said, make sure you remind people that the candy's great, but don't let dogs get near it because it's very dangerous for dogs, is xylitol.
Xylitol?
Yeah. So heads up on that.
Isn't all sugar bad for dogs?
This is no sugar in
sugary
these.
Things?
No sugar in these. No, actually, dogs, yeah, it probably is. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I do know the xylitol.
Where's Steve Dale when you need him?
Where's Steve Dale? And here's the other thing I want to mention.
And when's the last time you've actually needed him?
Oh, he's needed all the time. Who are we kidding? The other thing is we're talking about, and we're talking again to Sardine, and we were talking about We're talking about summer jobs and how kids don't get summer jobs anymore. And when they have to get summer jobs, they whine about it. And somebody texted in about their 92-year-old dad saying, all of this affluence is going to be trouble. Turns out they're right, because kids don't want to work anymore.
That's right. Don't understand the value of a dollar.
So Paul Conrad complains about it every day when he comes into work at Channel 9. My mom made me come to work again.
Just happy to get up out of the house for a little while.
So, all right. So, Sardine Moron, you and I will come back in a second. We're going to talk about one of the great stories I've ever seen headline-wise, a director walking out of his own film. Jesse Smollett and reviews on Aladdin, which I think is trouble, Book Smart, and Brightburn. Don't go ahead of myself.
Don't prejudge. Don't prejudge.
Okay. It's all coming up.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard.
We continue with America's most important radio segment, the Daily Moron Entertainment. More on entertainment.
Take that, NPR.
I've got to get back together with Brad Most, the father of Moron Entertainment.
Yep.
He himself a proud
moron. He titled this.
Yeah, and he helped us get a logo. We got to see what we're going to do with that. We have a lot of plans for Moron Entertainment. We just haven't done anything about them.
We're just too lazy to do anything about them.
That's what makes us morons. 312, my son Graham just started working his first summer job at Culver's. We're very proud. Well, good for Graham.
Nice.
Delivery drivers needed. Chicago Tribune newspaper, Lake Villa, Illinois, Western Lake County. Jay. This is not monster.com.
What's the worst summer job that you've ever had?
Working at Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips for 2 days.
Ugh. Ditto that.
Yeah.
6 months I lasted.
The grease burns on my wrist.
Like, I was going to say, it's gross.
I smell like fish normally, so that was not a problem for me.
but you smell like scallops usually.
I do usually, yeah.
Those mustard yellow uniforms. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh, did you
never forget those?
Did you wear that, Steve?
Very flattering for me.
$10,000 if anyone has a picture of Steve in his Arthur Treacher uniform.
I'll make it $100.
Did you have a bad job, Dean?
My career before radio was working at the A&P grocery store. But my one summer job that I had that I hated, you know those ice cream trucks that you see people, they're like bicycles.
Oh, yeah.
And they have like an ice cream thing and the kids run after you and stop and you reach in and, you know, give them their ice cream and all that. That was the worst. You'd think it would be nice because you'd be outside all day and have access to ice cream.
No, because the kids are very respectful.
The kids were a little abrupt, but those things are heavy to maneuver.
I'll bet. I'm surprised you didn't fall off your bikey.
I'm surprised I wasn't killed by a baked Alaska.
What's a Jesse Smollett story?
They announced yesterday, a judge made a ruling yesterday that the files that had been sealed, so we never really knew what the reasoning was of why Jesse Smollett's all of the charges were dropped against him, are going to be released. And those will be coming out. They're saying early June, the state's attorney's office will be releasing all that. So, you know, a bunch of TV stations and newspapers filed for freedom of information, including WGN. And they the judge read everything over and decided that these should be released. So we're going to be learning more about that in the next week or so, because I know nobody's tired of the Jesse Smollett story.
Can we find out what other lies he told about what other crimes he made up? Are they going to be in there possibly?
Allegedly.
This story is unbelievable. Is it Can? It's not Can.
It is Can.
Oh, it is Can.
Yeah, you do say Can.
The Can Film Festival is going on. And, you know, this is a big deal every year. And we are a huge, huge amount of positive stuff.
Yeah, about the Elton John movie was the talk. The Quentin Tarantino
movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It's one of the big movies. But there's also this other film, Steve, that is called Mektub, My Love, Intermezzo.
Which is legendarily bad?
Well, this is how it's described by a critic with the Hollywood Reporter magazine who was there. It's painfully retrograde and painful to watch. It consists of 3 hours of jiggling female butts.
Yeah, I saw it described, I think it was one of your notes, 4 hours of twerking.
Of twerking buttocks. Apparently, literally, one critic describes this that this is a four-hour movie about butts. Literally, 60% of the movie is a close-up of butts twerking.
First off, Cannes got to have a screening thing where they decide whether or not you get into the film festival. So why'd they put it in? For contrast, so people could see why a movie is good?
Well, as you know, Steve, in the Cannes Film Festival, we appreciate all forms of art, even when it...
What do you mean Jerry Lewis has no new film?
Let's put the butt movie on instead.
Did the director really walk out of his own movie?
The director's name is Abdel Latif Kachish.
Bless you.
And he attended the red carpet with his lead actress, Ophelia Bao.
Did she bring her ass or did she not?
She did bring her ass.
Well, you said it's the star of the film.
Well, it's her butt that we see for much of the time on the screen. So, of course, you're not going to miss out on the premiere of that. But the director and the lead actress both show up for this. About a half an hour into it, the director gets up and says, "I want to apologize for having shown this to you. I'm leaving." And he and the lead actress walk out of their own world premiere.
What's going on?
Having realized what a terrible idea this was.
Well, how could they not know? You know how a movie's made, the process with dailies and final edits and all that. He's seen it. How could he not know?
He, you know, it's art.
Yeah.
Steve, this is art. Don't question the art.
I am shaking my fanny at it right now. And let's go through some of these. Oh, I have a real estate listing I was going to ask you about. Ellen just bought Adam Levine's house for $45 million bucks.
Yeah, I didn't get that listing. I'm a little mad about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that would have been a killer for you.
Yeah, that would have been a honey.
All right, Aladdin, any good?
Honey. Yeah.
A honey of a deal.
It's a honey that went sour on me.
Is Aladdin any good?
Aladdin is any good, yes.
It is good.
I enjoyed it. It's a shame what people have done to this movie, even before they saw it. The second that trailer came out, a couple of months ago, something like that, people were saying it's trash. Oh, look at Will Smith. He's blue. And they, you know, prejudge the heck out of it. You sit and watch the movie, and you find out it's actually fun and exciting. And Will Smith does a great job. He doesn't, you know, people are saying, oh, you'll never top Robin Williams. And he doesn't try to top Robin Williams. He makes it his own. If anything, it's a hybrid of the Genie character from the Broadway stage musical. It's really more like that, coupled with maybe a little Fresh Prince influence.
That's all right. That sounds good.
Yeah. It's very entertaining. He's very good. The actors that play Aladdin and Jasmine are very good. It's a nice story. There's
why a PG instead of a G? Is there something scary in it?
No, not really. Not really.
Maybe
because
she shows her midriff.
Gratuitous nudity?
Yeah. Might be. There might be some twerking midriff in this.
Yeah. A lot of car chases.
My kids are going to see it tomorrow with their mom, and they are so excited.
I think they're going to enjoy it.
Last summer, there was like a 5-second teaser that just saying Aladdin is coming, and Catherine was sitting on the couch, and she was like, oh my God, there's going to be a new Aladdin. She's been waiting a year for this.
Well, I was going to take Abigail, or we were going to take Abigail to that this weekend, but is she too little for it?
I don't think so. But
she's a genius.
It's
she's a very stable genius.
It's colorful. There's a lot of movement. I think little kids will enjoy it. I think also adults will enjoy it. It's a nice story. The songs are nice. There are a lot, you know, a whole new world and Never Had a Friend Like Me and, you know, some classic songs that are in it. But they also wrote a bunch of new songs, which are also very nice in this movie. So, yeah, I'm recommending for the grown-ups, and I think kids of all ages will enjoy this one. Really, what I think is one of the best movies of the year, this I think is in my top five movies of the year so far, a movie called Booksmart.
Oh, yes!
This is a delightful movie about two high school graduates. They're about to graduate from high school tomorrow, and they realize that they never really had any fun in high school. And they set out to have all of the fun that they missed in high school in one day. And the results are very funny, very R-rated. It's a sweet and touching movie about friendship and loyalty.
Are they nerds or are they?
They're kind of nerdy, yes.
Okay.
They are kind of nerdy, but they're the, you know, BFFs forever. and they decide that they're going to tear it up on their last day before high school graduation.
One of the actresses is Seth Rogen's sister.
Is Jonah Hill's sister.
Or Jonah Hill's sister, yeah. They are. They came in studio. They did like with when they did Dean, and they did Justin interview. And they are such nice girls.
Yep.
And it's like a, what's the movie it's supposed to be like? The girl version of Superbad. That's what they said.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah. So.
I've heard that. I think it's a little smarter, actually, than Superbad.
Oh, yeah?
Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein is her name. Beanie is the one who is Jonah Hill's sister.
Whoa. That's Larry Potash's real name. Beanie Feldstein.
Sometimes. Should have trademarked it. It's a coincidence. The other interesting part about this is that Olivia Wilde, the actress, makes her feature film directing debut. And she directs it and does an amazing job. It's a very, very sweet movie.
She's still married to Jason Sudeikis?
She is still married to Jason Sudeikis, who has a small role in this film.
All right, and lastly, Brightburn, what is that?
Disappointment. It's supposed to be a scary movie. It's not especially. It's kind of like a reverse Superman kind of story. A rocket crashes into a rural area. In this rocket is a little baby. The people who live on this farm raise the baby as their own. Turns out the baby has superpowers, Steve.
Mm.
But instead of using the powers for good, the baby grows into a child turns out to use superpowers for revenge, for evil things, for nasty, mean, and very violent things.
Yeah, I won't be seeing that.
Movie doesn't hold up very well, so I would say take a pass.
Are you on a radio Sunday?
I'm going to be playing back some of the interviews that we did while I was in London this week.
Including when Prime Minister Theresa May announced she's resigning. Well, she had that exclusive story.
She came by, gave me her top three favorite Elton John songs, and her philosophy on Brexit.
And then said she was out. So that'll be Sunday. All right, buddy. Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Likewise. See everybody.
See you later. And we will not be here on Tuesday or Monday. Well, maybe Tuesday as well, depending on how the weekend goes. But we will come back after the news, which is next on 720 WGN.
McDonald's drive-thrus will start helping you make decisions.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
There's six items. So, like, they sell burgers.
Do you want fries with that?
They sell chicken.
Do you want fries with that?
And they sell a fish sandwich.
Do you want fries with that?
They have sausage, eggs, and pancakes. As my old friend John Panette, the late great John Panette, said, get out of the line!
Get out the way!
It's 8:47. Yeah, it's Friday. I got nothing left. What do you want to talk about? People go, oh yeah, quite a job you got there. What, do you sit around and talk for 4 hours? Well, yeah, that's the job, basically. But occasionally, we just run out of stuff. Or you get tired of the stuff we usually talk about. So, 312-981-7200 is the number. What do you want to talk about? It's tough to use this like in text form because it's tough to put the inflection in the right place.
There was a couple.
Hey, what do you want to talk about?
A couple of random texters from the 773, Glenn in Evanston. The worst movie ever made was Geely, which only made $65 at the box office.
Oh, yeah. J-Lo and Ben Affleck.
Yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
And then somebody said their worst summer job was when they worked at WOOLCO.
Wolco.
On my first day there, I was assigned to the clothing department and had to fold the displays. Folded one and moved on to the next one, only to see a woman just ripping my newly folded display. Decided that I hated folding clothes and never came back for a second day.
Seems right.
So that's the Steve Cochran. Only work 1 or 2 days.
I worked 2 days. Listen, I gave Arthur Treacher's a fair shot. 2 days in, with my sexy yellow outfit on and my paper hat, I decided that the grease burns on my hand were too much for me.
But how much food did you eat while you were there?
Well, I don't think I had much at all.
No fish?
I was skinny, man.
Those chips were awesome.
See the picture of me in high school that we posted yesterday?
Yes.
I mean, I was a skinny kid. It's like I didn't eat. Of course, made up for it in my 30s, 40s, and early 50s.
Mary, were there actual chips or were they French fries?
They were French fries. Oh. They were fries, but they were thick and they were good. Oh, and you put that cheese sauce on them.
Yes. Oh, Steve Grzanich loves cheese sauce.
Oh, it was the best.
Steve Grzanich's nickname in college was cheese sauce.
I was also in a band in college, James Cheese Sauce.
312-981-7200 is the number. What do you want to talk about? Get to the calls next. Meanwhile, Marlborough, Massachusetts. So he breaks into a guy's house last week, didn't touch a thing, and clean the house. Nate, were you in Massachusetts last week?
Are you looking at me?
Yeah, you would do that. You'd break into somebody's house and clean it.
I was
it.
Not there.
Nate Roman tells the Boston Globe when he returned to his home on May 15th, he could tell someone had been in. Nothing was missing. But the 44-year-old noticed the beds were made, the rugs were vacuumed, and the toilets were scrubbed. They even crafted origami roses on the toilet paper rolls before they left. He called the experience weird and super creepy. Sergeant Daniel Campbell said the department has never heard of similar episodes. There are no suspects in the case. Roman says he may have left his back door unlocked. He thinks perhaps the housekeeping service went to his home by mistake. Well, I guess that would make sense. That's the only explanation.
Although he says they didn't do the dishes. So maybe they got to the house cleaning service got to the kitchen and realized they were in the wrong place and left.
Oh, yeah. Look at you. You already figured out the crime.
Solved.
I don't know why we called you cheese sauce.
I'm picturing making that call. Hey, somebody broke into my house. No, nothing's missing.
And they cleaned it.
Everything's very clean, though.
Yeah, I don't know that that would be the first thing the cops do that afternoon. Yeah. It's 8:51. We'll come back, take your calls, 312-981-7200 on anything you want to talk about next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Yep. You know, there's words to the song. Alex is making fun of me. I don't know the answers in this category. Why I'm even on the show? Because James keeps winning, and that sucks for me. And I've won no money. Hey, Alex, what are my parting gifts? You didn't know that was the words to the song?
No.
Tell you what, I'm not just another pretty face. Gene's on the northwest side. Gene, you watching this guy on Jeopardy?
Good morning. Good morning, Steve. I'm just so excited to talk to you.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Yes, my goodness. I'm not sure what I didn't realize I was going to get connected. I just thought maybe this was an idea for you to talk about.
No, listen.
Everybody talks about him.
Are you watching him? Are you watching him every day?
Every day. In fact, I tried to stay up till 2 in the morning, and I fell sound asleep and woke up with Channel 7 on this morning at 5:30.
Well, wait, I don't even know this. Did they rerun it in the middle of the night?
Yes, because the game was on yesterday,
I got it.
So they said 2:05 a.m. Now, I want to know, the aficionados of those of us who watch Jeopardy, do you think we're going to stay up till 2 in the morning? All I want to know, I don't care how much money, etc.
Just announce it and he's still on, right?
I don't know. I thought maybe you fellows would know. Morons of entertainment would know.
Super Dave, as opposed to Super Joe, you know the answer.
Well, and I also can't call myself a moron, but he did win. It was one of his closer ones so far.
Oh, now, see, and that's more exciting.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
And nobody's going to rerun it. I don't tape anything.
Gene, I love you. You're the best. Hold on.
Gene sounds just like your mom, Anne. That's what I thought. I thought it was Anne. I thought Anne was doing a voice.
Uh-huh. Is my mom doing that multi-personality thing again that she tries?
Yeah, or maybe she's like doing her bits.
Does she have a sister named Gene?
Yeah. Give Gene everything she wants from the presents.
Yeah, I think we should have Gene on more often.
She's tremendous. What do you want to give her?
I'm going to give her a Lou Malnati's gift certificate and an Apt gift card.
Why don't you send her that Sondheim thing?
Oh, well, yes. Ask her if she's available to go, because I don't want to give tickets to somebody that can't go.
She goes till June 29th. Of course she's available.
A funny thing happened on the way to the Forum, playing at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights.
I'll be performing there later this summer, so we're going to look for that, too. Jana's in Downers Grove. Yes, Jana?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I just wanted to bring attention to our community high school district is not allowing our students to be recognized for the National Technical Honor Society, World Languages, or Music Honor Society at their graduation.
What? Why?
Yeah. They feel they've already been recognized.
Well, how can you be recognized less because you were recognized once? I don't get that.
I don't get it either.
And we're in a time where recognized. I mean, that's...
This is the thing I don't understand. Academic achievement is being poo-pooed around the country. And nobody's a bigger sports fan than I am. You know, I was a jock 40 years ago. But the idea that athletic achievement is held up and promoted and blown up, academic achievement should be given the same sort of fanfare. I don't get why there's no valedictorians in some schools. Competition is a part of life, and if you achieve, you ought to be rewarded for that.
Well, they'll recognize national honor societies, but not national technical honor societies. That's
such a weird distinction.
It is.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't.
I'm very frustrated.
I don't blame you. I'd be frustrated, too. And I love Downers. So you people in Downers, get your act together at that school and fix it.
Well, and if they don't recognize them, they should at least give them, like, a special, you know, rope around, like, you know how they wear those sashes and stuff?
Yeah, whatever that thing's called around. Yeah.
Give them
your special
thing, like,
honor.
Yeah,
you know,
give them one.
Or give them a breakfast.
Does this have anything to do with, like, these schools trying to speed up these ceremonies? Because that's what's really at play here in some places. And it's really shameful that they, you know, for some of these kids, this is what they're, the highlight of their years in high school.
Yeah, they worked 4 years for this.
And, you know, so what? Let's sit there another 10 or 15 minutes. We're parents. We don't care.
Totally agree.
You know what it is? It's a different tassel. He would get to wear a white tassel instead of a purple and white tassel.
I agree with Steve. He ought to be able to be recognized along with everybody else who had that technical achievement. And when he's running the world and starts the next Google, I hope he goes in and fires those people that didn't.
Down with Downers Grove.
Well, let's recognize
up with
him
Downers
right
Grove. Oh. Down with those guys.
I think we should recognize him right now. What's his name? Because we can recognize a lot more people will hear it.
That's a good point. We're way bigger than a graduation.
That's
What's
right.
his name?
It's Donald Peters, but. He is not the only one.
Well, Donald Peters. Well, you can't announce
Start
all.
With
of,
Donald Peters.
You can't announce all of his friends. Donald Peters.
Yes.
Technical National
nice
Honor Society Award winner.
Kudos.
Excellent. Thank you, Jen. I don't blame you for being frustrated. And one more, Patricia in Burridge. Hi, Patricia.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
You know, you just hit an ad on about driving carefully.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if they pass that law that they're going to legalize marijuana?
You know, I don't this is a good question. Steve, maybe you can tell me. What do we know about driving under the influence of pot, under the influence of weed?
Well, we do know this. We know that there is some concern that police are not going to be able to have the testing ability that they would have for drunk driving right away.
About impaired ability?
You're because not supposed to drive impaired of anything, similar
of anything,
to alcohol.
Right. I mean,
they can't measure it.
I mean, police know whether you're impaired. They can look at your eyes and tell whether you are impaired.
But I guess I'm asking what specific behavior does, you know, I've never smoked pot, sorry. What specific behavior does it impact in regards to driving your car?
It's the same as driving under the influence of alcohol. You will have delayed reaction time.
Well, yeah, then of course you shouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, you're driving impaired isn't just cover drunk. You shouldn't be driving under any impairment.
So what Steve is saying is right. You need to have the testing on this very quickly, and you probably shouldn't legalize it until you can test.
Yeah, one of the things, if you've ever been pulled over and the police come and they shine a flashlight in your eye, part of the deal, they do that not just to see you, but to see your pupil reaction. Yeah.
That's how I get woken up every morning.
Is that right?
Patricia, you're right, too. They're the smartest callers.
You do have the smallest callers.
Smartest callers. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back with the news in a second at 720 WGN.
Music is the force that moves people.
No one's going to have their lives changed by a song, but you can plant a seed in people's mind.
Rock and roll whispered in my ear and said, the world is more malleable than you think.
Well, we tried to book Larry Word, who runs a gift shop at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, but he was unavailable. So we got the next best thing. We got our friend David Plyer, who's going to fill in for me on Monday. More about that in a bit. And Justin from the Museum of Broadcast Communications. And Justin knows I refuse to try to pronounce your last name. What is it?
Kolovsek.
Kolovsek.
There you go.
That's it right
Perfect.
There. And the P in Kolovsek is silent?
No, yeah. You know.
Okay.
It's about that. So. It's about that way.
Justin, nice. Louder than words, rock, power, and politics. What is it?
It is direct from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We have 176 artifacts that date back from Eisenhower through Trump. And we go through the entire, literally...
The history of rock and roll.
The history of rock and roll, but then looking at what the political climate was at the time, looking at different issues like civil rights, gay rights.
Who curated all this? The museum itself?
All done by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This exhibit has actually also been at the Clinton Library and is after it after being at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, it will be at the Bush Library in Texas.
Yeah, so it's on the road.
So, David, what's your favorite piece?
Oh, I would have to say it would be there's a lot of actually artifacts from like the Vietnam War that are up there, but there's original village people costumes that are there, but there's a lot of handwritten
music. Do they have
music.
The one you wore?
They do not have that one in stock, but there's also a lot of handwritten music, one by Bob Dylan. And Bob has the neatest handwriting on the planet,
is that
which
right?
would be a little surprising.
And you can see where he used an eraser and took something off, and it's like, what was he going to say for Times They Are Changing instead?
Yeah, that's music, yeah.
We also have to explain that to kids. Why is that smudge there?
Yeah, right, exactly.
You're opening today?
We open today. We open in 45 minutes.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is where?
So Museum of Broadcast is
it? No, first I want to know. First I want to see if you know where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was.
Cleveland, of course. Cleveland.
Oh, okay. Now that we've established
Cleveland,
the Museum of Broadcasting is where?
360 North State Street.
State and Kinsey.
State and Kinsey.
Yeah.
You guys know that right across the street, the parking garage that's like a kitty corner, I guess you'd call it, is a parking garage I got lost in. Now, you know, there's only one way to get out of a parking garage, but that parking garage has a secret trap, and that one of the elevators goes to the second floor, but not to the first or something like that. I was in there for a month and a half in December.
And John DeCoste were wandering the parking lot, and I said,
"Oh, this is recent."
Oh yeah, I said, "Get the last time we did our live broadcast there." I said, "Get in the car," and Steve wouldn't get in the car, but John did, and I drove around up all the floors and then down to find
and then back up
Steve's
and
car. So I dropped John off, and then as I was driving down to leave, I passed Steve still walking, and I was like, "Hey, get in the car! I know
there had been
car.
Several search parties formed."
Can I admit it's happened to me as well?
Yeah, so, my man.
People that park there all the time, it happens.
Having said that, it's well worth getting lost to go to the Museum of Broadcast Communications. This whole thing put together, is it typical of a museum to share in this way? Is that how things are done?
Yeah, so a lot of museums will create an exhibit, and then they will start to put it out on the road and travel it.
Is it, I mean, it's like a Broadway in Chicago thing? It starts here, it goes to New York, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. It's actually, if you were to look at almost any museum here in Chicago, they've all done traveling exhibits at some point.
And this one specifically is going to be here just through Labor Day. So it's Memorial Day through Labor Day. And then we've got another one coming from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame called Rock on TV that debuts in October.
I'm sorry.
You guys had great success with Saturday Night Live, the exhibition.
Absolutely.
So thanks to everybody who came out to do that.
Thanks for all your support.
But David, talk for a second about the mission of the Museum of Broadcast Communications. So why do you exist?
Why? You know why? Because there was 35 years ago, I think this is when Bruce Dumont was still in the TV industry and noticed that tapes, artifacts from shows were just being thrown in the dumpster. So all this archival stuff, and a lot of it, you know, when you think about the all the newsreels that are gone and so forth, I mean, that's historical documentation of the times.
No question.
And they were going in the garbage, and he really wanted to sit there and pull all the stuff together and preserve it all. And we've got over 80,000 hours of television and radio content.
It's part of our history.
It absolutely is. But no TV station, once they run out of room, it's gone.
Well, you'd make you cry if you knew the stuff the Tribune Company has thrown away through the years.
Yeah, no, totally.
Including the stuff from the old, from the Tribune Tower. I mean, I remember from the time I got fired when I left. Dave, remember I got fired, so I left?
I do.
The stuff you guys cleaned out when you moved from the first floor to the seventh floor, and a ton of stuff was thrown out.
Well, so a lot of stuff actually was archived at Northwestern. And it was turned over to them for archival purposes. But
just old tapes
from the first time that I worked at WGN 35 years ago. Yeah. There's been so much that was lost.
There's a record library there that had thousands of records. And whatever happened to all that stuff? Spike stealing?
It went to, some of it went to a university. No, he didn't. Some went to a university, and then the ones that actually weren't valued as much went to Dusty Groove Records, and they sold them off.
A lot of the words rock, power, and politics. The politics part of this, generally speaking, Justin, we'd think, well, politics, we don't get along with rock and roll. Is that always true?
It's not always true, actually. When you look at, there's a few different exhibits in here that one is about war, and they look at Vietnam, and they look at the pro songs and the anti-war songs that were kind of going on at the time. We've got a shirt worn by Johnny Cash when he said, you know, people need to to man up and do this for their country. And then mm-hmm. right next to it, we've got, you know, the lyrics to the song War and, right. and such. So, you know, it's definitely throughout the piece, we have everything from, you know, Aretha Franklin's hat that she wore at the Obama inauguration. And singing.
How about Clinton saxophone? Where's that?
Clinton saxophone, we have that as well. Yeah,
Come on, really?
Yeah. We really do. Yeah. And then we have got things like Eric Clapton's 9/11 guitar. We have Eric Clapton's famous Birdie guitar that he used with George Harrison.
There's a lot of exclusive videos, too, and interviews with like Bono and Dee Snider and Gloria Estefan, Jimmy Carter, exclusive on this exhibit, too, that you can see as you walk through.
Well, you just described it would be the weirdest sequel ever to We Are the World.
Yes, that's true.
Again, Loud in the Words, Rock Power and Politics opens today at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. How do we get tickets?
Museum.tv, or you can always get them at the door as well.
When you go, how much time do you think you should allow?
About an hour.
An hour.
Depends on the kind of museum goer you are.
You can do a couple hours, actually.
I think Wendy
Snyder
is going to stay for like 6 hours. Yeah,
she's totally into this.
She is.
If you read every single panel, it's going to take more than an hour.
No, I suggest, I'm an idea guy, and I suggested to David, I don't know if he brought it up to you, is a section on groupies, including bringing in old groupies. For various stages of rock and roll. But you guys didn't want to go with that.
No, we didn't. No. No. We might do that as a special event.
Did it come up in the meeting, though, as something worthy of consideration?
I think Larry actually killed that idea.
Oh, no. Larry killed it for his own protection. Museum of Broadcast Communications, 360 North State Street. What are you doing on my show Monday?
We've got Robert Wilkie, U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. He's going to come on the air. So will Chicago's own Gary Sinise.
Good.
You know how much he's impassioned about. You know, and there's a big difference, obviously, between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, but we'd be kind of remiss if we didn't talk about how we're taking care of our veterans. And then we'll do some summer grilling, and we're going to give away a Weber grill at 8:50, so good stuff.
Are you going to cook on the air?
I don't believe so.
Because you need the smell out of the studio by Tuesday morning. If
we used to tailgate
in the parking
lot. We
can't open these windows, you know that.
We used to tailgate in the parking lot. If we did in the garage here, that might be trouble.
You could be right. Monday, David Plyer filling in for me. We'll be back on Tuesday. As always, Justin, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
What's the website?
Museum.tv.
All right, you got to go to work, man. Go open this thing. It's not going to open on its own.
Yeah, get out of here.
I'm an extremely stable genius.
Woohoo! I'm a college man! I won't need my high school diploma anymore! I am too smart! I am too smart! S-M-R-T! I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T!
Best. Sabre, what am I forgetting? Is there anything else going on?
Yes, I would like to tell listeners to go to our website, and right on the homepage on the front, there's something titled William Shatner Leaves a Mysterious Message on Rokan's Voicemail. I heard them talking about this yesterday.
Shatner called Ro by mistake?
So William Shatner called Ro by mistake, and he thought he was talking to producer Kevin Burns, and he left a very detailed message for him, but it's on Ro's voicemail. And so it is so funny.
Why would Ro with a Chicago area code be mixed up with Kevin Burns' phone number?
I'm not sure. Why Shatner even have Ro's number also? You know, like,
well, he probably was on a show there or something.
Well, you all the guests. I mean, he's kind of pretty famous. So, but it's so funny. And Kevin Powell kept saying, well, he was trying to call me, but that isn't the case. Yeah. So the whole thing is really funny, and it's real. It's not an imposter.
Is it posted?
It's posted. It's right on the homepage at WGNRadio.com.
That is funny.
If you want to chuckle, you should go to our website and listen to it. I tried to get Rod on today, but he had a conflict. I wanted him to explain it further.
Well, I'm sure he will this afternoon, right? What time is baseball tonight, Dave?
6:35 for the pregame.
So you get a good chunk of the Roe show. 9:31, and a belated hi to everybody on CLTV. As always, we thank you for watching and for listening. It's 7:20. WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
When you're a jet, you're a jet. All the way from your first cigarette to your last dying day. When you're a jet, let them do what they can. You've got brothers around, you're a family man. You're never alone, you're never disconnected. You're home with your own. Company's expected, you're well protected. Then you are set with a capital J, which you'll never forget till they cart you away. When you're a jet, you stay a jet.
Nothing like a sweet love song to your gang. When you're a jet, you're a jet all the way. You know, West Side Story done right never gets old. Ever.
Mm-hmm. It's a great show.
Doesn't age. And some of the great fight scenes ever. because to choreograph those fight scenes, some that take place running up a wall, crazy, unbelievable. Anyway, in studio, did do West Side Story in town for a limited run. Michaela Bennett and Amanda Castro, welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, Michaela is Maria and Amanda is Anita.
And all you guys have to do is recreate Natalie Wood and Rita Moreno. No pressure.
It's fine.
No pressure at all.
We got to go. We got to go to rehearsal now.
So. Right. We'll brush up.
When was the first time you saw the film?
Oh, boy. Whoa. I think I was probably about 15.
Teenager? Sam?
I was a kid.
Yeah?
I was little.
Did it catch right away? I mean,
yep. Yeah.
You wanted to sing and dance then, too?
I just wanted to be in a purple dress.
You and me both.
I know. You know.
Who doesn't want to feel pretty on the weekend?
Exactly.
And have you ever had a chance to meet Rita Moreno?
No, I haven't.
She's unbelievable. You know, she's like 87.
Oh, yeah, and she looks amazing.
She looks just a dream. She's amazing.
She's a queen.
What takes more time, singing or dancing, to keep the tools in order for something like this?
Ooh, I mean,
I think they both require different things. And
does it depend on the director, on how much time each get, or is it your own personal responsibility and discipline?
Both.
I think it's both, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't do much dancing in this show, and you do more dancing than singing, but it's like a sport, and it takes, you know, we're preparing all day for our performances, not just when we're, you know.
What do you do with your voice on show day? And there's only one non-show day when you're working.
Right.
I get a lot of sleep. I drink so much water. I don't drink any alcohol.
Do you talk?
I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like for me, at least for my instrument, when I'm talking throughout the day, it really warms me up.
Okay.
It's a natural way to warm up. Yeah. So you don't overdo
it. Have you got a warm-up hook either one of you do?
Oh, it's very, very. It's pretty much like that. And whatever comes out of my mouth.
And for me, it's just I make sure, you know, one, yes, getting enough sleep, drinking enough water, and definitely in the beginning of the day, I start to move my body. You kind of assess from
the top. Oh, that's interesting.
You have to assess from the top down, you know, because we all sleep in different ways, and then from there you figure out, okay, my shoulders are a little tight. How do I get them moving, you know, at 10 o'clock, and then by 7 o'clock at night, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't afford to have a pinched nerve. Sleep on a folded over pillow wrong.
No, nope. Boy.
You know, you talked about being able to do it this way versus the way it was done in the past. You have the advantage now to watch yourselves. Do they video the shows where you can go back, look at it?
I mean, there are B-roll videos, but I actually prefer not to listen to recordings of myself or see myself because I find...
I'm a lot like this with this show. Yeah, and we do 5 a week.
No, I just find that I start trying to reenact what I'm seeing or copying exactly how I sound or did it. So I think just showing up and doing my job and then maybe watch it later on.
That's interesting, too, because you probably don't want to watch the movie too much either because you don't want to be Rita Moreno or Natalie Wood in those characters, right?
I really agree with that.
You want to be your honest self every single day and honestly react.
Key to the performance.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Every single time.
And the actors around you.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it's an amazing cast.
I think so.
Our entertainment reporter said it's the best show in Chicago right now.
Wow.
And he's a pain.
And he's a stickler. He doesn't just say that to anybody.
The fact that he said that's very, very good.
It's an honor.
It really is.
So when this opportunity came up for West Side Story for both of you, is it you heard about it and said, I have to audition to this? Does somebody come to you and say, I think you'd be good for this part? And then what's the audition process?
I did a concert version of this over the summer in London, and I saw that they were doing this at the Lyric, and I called my manager up and said, can we please get me seen for this? I just want to be at least seen for it. And they had me audition with Corey, and I just knew...
Corey Codd plays Tony.
Yeah, I just knew that something was coming. There was an energy in the room and a connection that... It was, like, undeniable, and...
Did you nail the audition?
I mean, I think I nailed my chemistry with Corey.
Okay. So you could feel it.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you make him sing to you before you got even started?
Did
you make him sing to you before you got started? You go, I don't know if I can work.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Sam, your parents are going, right?
My parents are going tomorrow, and they are thrilled. As I was telling the ladies, they have been performing West Side Story at my house since I was a baby.
Yes.
It's their, it's my mom wanted to be Natalie Wood, you know, so they are not good performers, just so we're clear.
Wait, how many cocktails?
It's quite a few. Quite a few martinis.
I bet two martinis in, they can nail it.
Yeah, but how about you, Amanda, when for hearing about West Side Story?
I had just done a show at the Jiva Theater in Rochester, New York, doing In the Heights, and somebody in the cast knew the choreographer who was choreographing this West Side Story suite, because it was at Houston Grand Opera, Glimmerglass Opera, Lyric Opera of Kansas City, and Atlanta Opera. And she was like, they're doing a West Side Story, and I think you should go to this call. So I ended up going, and I ended up playing a bunch of roles last year in all of these West Side Stories and going back in and out, and it's an honor to be here now. It's unreal. Mm-hmm. It's really unreal.
Now, I've done a couple of unimportant parts in movies and a bunch of TV and stuff, and callbacks, you know, are incessant in certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Same in theater or not so much?
Yeah, there are callbacks in theater. I actually only had one audition for this. I didn't have a callback.
Oh, boy, Michaela.
Look at you showing off, Michaela.
I don't mean it that way. Yeah. I definitely had a lot of
good chemistry
auditions
and they
in my life that ended up nowhere. But
does it work the same way? Like, you know, you cannot know you didn't get it until you find out down the road, because the cruelty of show business is. And, you know, grandparents and parents listening now, your kids are at school. God bless them if they want to get into show business. Mm-hmm. Encourage them if that's the dream. But it's really hard.
Yeah, it has to be an honest dream. And it has to be a deep-seated dream if you want to do it.
Well, people don't understand. It's got to be like one of the first things you think about in the morning, one of the last things you think about at night, because it's just part of you. You can't let it go.
Sometimes you just, if you don't look like Rita or Maria, you might not get it. And you can't control anything about how you were born, you know, and what you look like. So
the biggest part of it too, I think, is remembering, which I've learned over my time, is that you're going in giving the best version of yourself, and that's it. And you don't know what they want and need behind the table, the people who
right.
are
so as long as you've delivered on that level,
as long as you deliver full
fall?
You, if you're, you know, giving your full self, you should be proud of yourself. And if they don't want it, that's okay. You might not be what they need right now, and that's okay too.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than about what you're delivering in the room. It might be about your height. It might be how you look with your other, mm-hmm. you know, co-stars. There's a lot of variables.
Is it harder for women? I mean, there's tons of beautiful girls, but you have to be able to sing, dance, and look great as well. I think it's hard. I mean, that's just let me just make a blanket judgment with no evidence to back it up. I think it's harder for women because male roles in the theater, I think, are maybe very specific. It's sort of like getting married. You got a guy that shows up in a tux, that'll be fine. For women, you've got the dress, you've got the considerations, you've got all those things. I just think it looks like much more work for women in theater.
In certain aspects, yes. I feel like, you know, it depends on what you're going in for, and I think it depends on your chutzpah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what you're walking in with. And, you know, I've definitely been to auditions where there are 600 women and 60 men.
But a New York girl, I mean, chutzpah comes with the territory. You're a nice girl from Canada, Michaela. Where'd you get your chutzpah? Canadians aren't known for their chutzpah.
Oh, excuse me.
No, please.
Shots fired.
Some of my best friends are Canadians. Of course, they all have hockey sticks.
I grew up in Canada, and I was always a theater kid. And I got into school in New York, and so that was my ticket into
New York.
Not
just school.
So
Juilliard.
Yeah. Oh, Juilliard.
Yeah. Super casual.
So maybe that's where I got
Juilliard.
My
good football team
fire.
At Juilliard, right, Dave?
Yeah, football team. They win every year.
Yeah. That's amazing. And were you like the standout kid in high school that everybody wanted to, you know, emulate?
You know, I actually wasn't sure I wanted to be a performer. I took a year off school to kind of figure it out and audition. And the only school that I got into was Juilliard.
Wow.
So that was my, you know, ticket.
What else did you apply to?
Oh, I'm not even going to say. I can't even. I'm still not over it.
That's real.
I was so upset at the time.
I can't believe Juilliard was your safety school.
Oh, you know what? If I had gotten into any other school, especially being Canadian, my father wouldn't have wanted to pay for an American tuition.
Oh.
So it was kind of a blessing that
everything
it was the only
out.
Option.
He got you through.
Mm-hmm. It runs through June 2nd. At the
Lyric Opera. Very limited run.
Yeah.
Very limited run here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Lyric 20 North Wacker Drive in Chicago. Tickets on sale now. And by the way, tickets are very reasonable. I don't think we're charging enough. We're going to have a meeting. At lyricopera.org or 312-827-5600. Before I let you guys go, obviously break a leg, but also
thanks.
For little girls who want to grow up and do what you guys do professionally, what's the best piece of advice you could give them?
I think it's just stay true to yourself, follow your dreams, and work hard.
Don't be afraid. And if something scares you, you walk into it. You don't walk away from it. You step into anything that gives you, anything that makes you afraid, just go forward into it so you can face it.
Good for you. And if you don't get this one, it's not about you. Get the next one.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, it's great to see both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks. You'll make our morning. And thank you, everybody, at the Lyric.
I think Dave Bennett's going to try to go. It's his birthday on Thursday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Are you going?
I'd like to go.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Why don't you, just let's go out with this. Why don't you sing Maria as we go to break?
Well, I said my first solo, I was in the third grade. It was Tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Play us out, Dave.
Play us out. Take us to break.
Tonight.
Oh, I'm so ready to join.
I'll see. I believe
we've got our second.
Does that get me in? Am I in the show?
You're now the Tony understudy.
Yes, we'll have him waiting in the wings. What's coming up?
Sassy.
I don't think I can, Steve.
Remember the real meaning of Monday. Have your fun. But Monday is all about those who have made Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and every day capable and free for the rest of us. So Memorial Day, Monday, and enjoy it. We're back on Tuesday. Bill and Wendy are here. Hi.
Happy Friday, my friend.
And to you.
Thank you.
Wendy posted a picture on her Facebook of her son, Michael. I don't know how old he is in the first picture. Is he 7, 8,
No, he's
10?
Like 5th grade, 4th grade.
Okay, yeah. And he's got, which instrument is that?
Upright bass.
Giant. The instrument is the exact same height as him, you know? That's when his parents had to carry all his equipment. He had the big piece of equipment. And then a picture next to it of Michael at 20 or almost 20.
He was 20 yesterday, yes.
Oh, with his rock and roll hair and his guitar.
Yeah, I mean, what a transformation.
Once he had to start transporting his own stuff, though, then he got a smaller guitar.
Right,
you know?
That's how he'll play the
ukulele. Ross went the other way on that. Ross had the upright bass, and then he just stopped playing.
Wendy's first baby is 20.
I know, that's weird to think of that.
Especially for you being 23.
Yeah.
That's a weird part.
Young mom.
I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records.
So, who knew at that age you could produce?
But it's
cool. Bill, you're a good mother, too.
You're nice to say that.
So.
Thank you.
What's coming up on the show?
There's a documentary about Chris Farley that is premiering, and Matt Cassane is one of the stars of it, and he'll be on with us to talk about
that. I've heard this is great.
Yes.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I've heard it's really, really good. And I, you know, everybody that knew Chris, it makes him cry. Laugh, cry.
So much.
Yeah. And, well, what else? That's not enough for the whole show unless you keep him on.
Brexit. A lot of Brexit talk.
We've got plant talk with proven winners. So if you have questions, get it ready. We're doing that at 10:15. It's planting season, baby.
Well, I should probably let you start the show then.
We can do that.
All right, go ahead. See you Tuesday.